Well, I ask for your prayers.
Look in the scriptures for a few minutes this evening. This little burden will be taken from the 15th chapter of the book of John. Something that I've studied about recently. It's been a real blessing to me, and I hope it will be to you this afternoon. You read in the book of Genesis and the account of the creation, man was the last thing that God created. God had created a perfect world. Everything that he had done to that point, he looked over it. At the end of each day, it's like there was a pause where God stopped and surveyed. This is my surmisings. He said it was good. But then when he created man and put him there, the terminology is slightly different. He adds a word that says he was very good. And I believe that God desired that man would be his crown jewel. He gives to you and me the ability to think and to reason and to respond. Everything else that he created works off of instinct. I know that there are certain things that we can teach and train animals to do. We've had pets, dogs. They can be taught certain things. They can be taught little sit, stay, shake, roll over, play dead. Things like that. They can be taught things. They follow commands. They usually do it, work off the reward system. We're not a whole lot different than that in many ways. We work off the reward system. We anticipate reward. A lot of things that we do, if you took the profit out of it, we wouldn't do it anymore. But God created man in that place in the garden. And he told him to have dominion. He told him to have dominion over all the things that had been created before. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And I believe that when God said those words to be fruitful, he meant more than just reproduction. I believe that God designed and desired that man would be able to produce fruit from his life. Whatever that may be. And that when God, who is this infinitely wise God, infinitely powerful God, created man in that capacity, in that framework, that he had some expectation from man, that he wanted there to be something that would come back from him. That's why he gave to him the ability to choose. We've talked about that a little bit earlier in a message. It had to be that there was a choice place in the garden. There had to be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there had to be the commandment given to not partake of it or touch it, lest you die. There was no other way for man to really be able to show whether or not he could exercise that free choice and that volition, and to be able to express to God his love or his lack of dedication, one way or the other. But I believe that God, in creating man, intended there to be that way of having fulfillment. And I believe that fulfillment was to be in both directions. That God was to be fulfilled in receiving from his creation, the only one that had the ability to really, from the heart, respond to him out of choice, free will choice, to praise and thank him. And that God designed and desired to have that back and forth communion with man. And that he gave man abilities. When he said to him, have dominion over all of these things, I believe God meant just that. And I believe that he meant for man to exercise the principle we read in the New Testament where it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And when a man is faithful to those things that God has put at his disposal, God looking on, seeing that they're making every honest effort to be responsible with those things and to be good stewards, that there is something that God recognizes from that and realizes that there is in them this principle that I attempted to instill and gave them the ability to make choice, and they are choosing to use those things to not only their benefit, but also the benefit of their fellow man. God doesn't want us to be a selfish people. I know it takes things for us to live, but God wants us to be willing to share those things that He has put in our hand. Again, the principle of stewardship that is required of stewards, that a man be found faithful. So here in the book of John, the 15th chapter, the beautiful words of our Lord Jesus, these as I read these words and study with these words, I find there's such a beauty in the story. And I pray that it'll be to us a blessing this afternoon. He says in the first verse of John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, Andrew Murray has a book called The True Vine. Probably many of you have read that book, and I recommend it. It's good reading. He takes this little passage of Scripture, and he just begins to break it down bit by bit, bit by bit, and has some real deep meaning in it. And he says this in one of the passages there. He says, a vine must have a husbandman to plant it and watch over it, to receive and rejoice in its fruit. Every one of us, if we're going to plant something, plant a garden, we have anticipation of receiving of its bounty. Whatever it produces, we want to receive of that. I love corn on the cob. And my wife likes it much better than I do. She loves corn on the cob. But there's only certain times of the year that you can get fresh corn. It's when it's in season. And when you are able to enjoy the bounty, or someone else is able to share with you their bounty of the fruit of their garden, that's a blessing that we can enjoy, and it's part of, I believe, what God wants from us. But there, somebody had put forth some labor to make that happen. They had to go out and till the ground, prepare the ground, and they had to have some knowledge of what it would take for that to bring forth. I want us to know this afternoon, our Heavenly Father had infinite knowledge of what it was going to take for there to be fruit produced in the hearts and the lives of His creation. And when He said, be fruitful and multiply, I don't believe it was just limited to reproduction. It included that. But I believe that He wanted them to have something down inside of them that would be able to produce a fruit that would be desirable to the fellow man and to him and to God. So He says, John, the words of Jesus, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Who planted the vine? The husbandman. The husbandman planted the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. So in my mind, this is my picture. I see that God the Father in heaven, knowing the need for humanity, knowing His desire and what His will was for humanity, for you and me, in order for us to be able to accomplish the command that God gave to be fruitful and multiply, there were some missing elements. There were some missing elements here. There was something else that had to take place. So He said, I'm going to send Jesus. Folks, I thank God, as we read in the Scripture, we find that in the book of Revelation, it speaks about a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I'll tell you, when that light bulb came on in my mind and it really illuminated me, I feasted on that for quite some time when I realized that God had ordained and established a plan for man's salvation from the very beginning. And you may have heard me say this, and if you have, be patient with me. Adam and Eve transgressed in that garden. They didn't have to. They didn't have to. And if they hadn't, it would have been me. It would have been me. Or you. And God had established and ordained a plan that would rescue me. or you. And I thank God for that plan that He ordained and established. All right? Second verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now this term, purge. Purge means to, it's from the Greek, kathero, which means to cleanse of filth or impurity. And I thank God that He has provided a plan of salvation, and through the plan of sanctification, that is able to purify the hearts of men. Now, I would like to think that I have always, and since I've been saved and sanctified, been able to produce fruit. But I have also found this, that all along the way, thank God, following the plan that He had ordained and established for humanity, that occasionally there is some pruning. Clip, clip, clip. And the reason He does that is so that this branch can bring forth more fruit. When you find yourself in that place where you are being chastened of the Lord, the Scripture tells us no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but afterward it yields a peaceable what? Fruit of righteousness. So when the chastening comes, when the Lord comes along and He starts snip, snip, snipping, pruning, getting rid of those things that are impure, those things that are not like what He wants it to be, it makes the opportunity for there to be more fruit produced in my life. And as I've pondered on that, I've had to slink away in my corner again and say, Lord, I sure do thank You. I don't mean I enjoyed it, but I want to say I thank You, because there are things along the way, thank God, that we learn as we grow in grace, and that when the Lord allows the pruning shears to come, and it does things to this branch, He lops off those non-productive pieces so that it can produce more fruit. You may have heard me say this. I kind of north of our home, about 20-25 miles or so, there's a gentleman there that has a big nursery now, sells plants of all kinds, but they had a peach orchard, and I was going through that area on my route one day, and I always enjoyed seeing those big peach trees out there and seeing the fruit hang on those trees. And I went through there one day, and I'll tell you, those trees had been trimmed, pruned, and it looked like beyond pruning to me. I saw that and I thought, oh. When Randy comes by and sees this, there's going to be trouble. Because I tell you, they went through there and they whittled those trees down. But I found out that they did that for a purpose. They went back there and cut all that stuff off so there could be new growth. He was anticipating having peaches that next year. But he was anticipating there would be peaches in another year or so, and there would be all these new branches, new shoots, new stems, and there would be much higher quality fruit, better fruit, sweeter fruit. And I learned some things about that. How that the Lord allows us to, in some of those places in life, folks, if you ever feel like you're being ripped on pretty good, be thankful that the Lord is using that opportunity to let you produce better fruit. Because that's what the Lord is desiring, is to have more fruit. So the words of the Lord says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Here's a sad omen, folks. Please don't be a branch that bears no fruit. Because the Scripture says, He takes it away. But every branch that bears fruit, thank God, that bears fruit, He purges it so it can bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So here's the picture. We have God the Creator, who created mankind, who put him in a garden to dress it and to keep it, and he said to him, be fruitful and multiply. But in my mind, if you'll give me this liberty, there was somewhat of a missing ingredient for man's ability to really be fruitful. So he sent Jesus. Jesus said these words, I'm the vine, my Father's a husbandman, he planted me, and you're the branches. Folks, thank God for the planting of the Lord. We are the branches. We're the branches, and it says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, in the fourth verse. And if you just had the stem, if you just had the trunk, if you just had only the vine, what would you have? Just a pole. You take these trees back here, just take a visual image, strip all the limbs off, strip all the branches off. What do you have? Just a trunk standing up in the air. All right, let's just say all we've got is branches and no trunk. How long is that going to last? Not very. If you strip all those branches off, even if you could suspend them in air, make them look like the part of a tree, it's not going to be long and they're going to wither and die. The vine by itself, stay with me here, the vine by itself is nothing but a pole. The branches by themselves wither and die. But when the two are a unit, planted by the Father, what's the result? You have a living substance, something that has the potential to bring forth fruit. Jesus said these words, the branch can't bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Sixth verse, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now here's where a lot of times people stumble along the way and get into trouble, thinking that I can ask for anything because I am a Christian. Anything that I ask for, I'm going to get. No, it doesn't fall into that category, folks. It falls under the category of being willing to produce fruit for the Lord. Being willing to stay a vine, a branch rather, attached to the vine. Lord, keep me attached to you. Keep me in that place where I have the capacity, I have the ability to bring forth fruit. Because as I bring forth fruit, you may want to prune and purge along the way. And that's all right. That's all within the plan of God. And thank Him for it. Because he says, bring forth more fruit. It brings forth more fruit. And then he says this, in the eighth verse, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Have you ever paid attention to the wording there? Herein is the husbandman glorified. Why? Because any husbandman that plants a vine does so with the intention, the hope of getting fruit. I've read a passage in the scripture, and I wish I could call it to chapter, book, and verse right now. But I believe it's in the Old Testament, I know, where it speaks of him delivering his strength. God delivered his strength. It had to do with when the ark was taken captive, and that God delivered his strength there. There is a portion of what God has done in this process of the vine and the branches and the fruit, where God delivers a portion of his strength to you and me, to be able to accomplish the purpose that he has ordained from the foundation of the world. just a moment ago, it's talked about the vine being just a piece by itself. If only you have the vine, you don't have any ability to have fruit. If only you have the vine. But when you have the vine and the branches, you have a complete unit. So our Heavenly Father has ordained and established a plan whereby when we're attached to that vine, that we bring forth fruit. And he says in 8th verse, "Herein is my Father glorified. This is what glorifies God. This is what glorifies the husbandman, that ye bring forth, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." When I think of that, my mind starts going all different directions, and I start thinking about what God really designed and desired. And I think of the times, I remember one time I was out with my father-in-law, and we were coon hunting on a piece of property at an old homestead. And we had secured permission to hunt there. And a beautiful old house. It had been abandoned, but it was still in very good shape. And whoever had built that old house had planted around that house pear trees. And while we had turned the dogs loose and letting them try to find a trail and waiting for them to make to a tree. And while we're waiting, it's a cool fall night, beautiful cool fall night there in South Louisiana, crisp, cool air. And I just was leaned up against that old house, and I had my headlight on and shined up in a tree there, and I saw, wow, look at all the fruit on this tree, all these pears. And went over and picked one and took my pocket knife and cut it, and juice just ran from that thing. And I took a bite of that. I thought, I have never tasted anything so sweet. That was the most beautiful, complete fruit. I've never since have I had anything that tasted so good. I commented to him about it, and I said, "You got to try this. Taste this." He picked one. He cut it. Juice just ran from it. I'll tell you, we had a few pears there that night. And I've thought about this different times, and I've thought about this message, what God designed and what He desired. From the very beginning of creation, when God looked over all that He had made, and He created men, He created Adam and Eve, just like you and me, folks, human beings, that He gave us the capacity to think and reason and to choose. And He said, "Be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply." Now, I don't have any idea that Adam and Eve understood all that He said. And I'm not going to say to you today that that's exactly what God meant. But if you'll give me that liberty, I think that God desires fruit from His creation. He looked at that and said, "Oh, this is going to be so very good. Because when I breathe breath into His nostrils, and I start this process of communion with Him, if He chooses to love me, if He chooses to respond to me, what a beautiful communion this is going to be. And if that process doesn't work out real well, I have a plan in place that I'm going to send a Redeemer." Folks, thank God that we have the Redeemer. We have the vine. We have the husbandman, who is God. We have the vine, who is Christ. We have the branches, who is you and me. And all of that working together brings forth much glory to the Father. When we're able to work together, when we're able to work as a complete unit, when that vine that God planted, oh, thank God for Jesus Christ. Because in Him, we live and move and have our being. In Him, we have complete union with God. In Him, when God the husband planted that vine, there was everything set in place then. God had ordained and established it from the beginning. Everything is set in place for that fulfillment to be. And I'll tell you, thank God for every moment of fulfillment that I've been able to enjoy in my life, and I know you do too. And I sometimes think, I can be rather whimsical at times and kind of a dreamer sometimes. And I sit back in my quiet times in the corners and quiet and when it's dark and I get where it's real still and I just think about these kinds of things. And if you allow this little simplistic expression, I would love to think of God picking fruit. And just like it was on that cool, crisp fall night, take a slice off of there and the juice just runs. Take a bite and say, oh, that's good. I love to think of God having those kinds of expressions about His children. They're bringing forth fruit. And when He prunes and purges, yeah, that hurt a little bit, Lord. Whoosh, that got kind of close there. You ever get a fingernail clipped down the quick? Well, you know how that feels. That's a little close, Lord. That hurt a little bit. But after a while, when we learn the lesson from that and we're able to have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude. You ever had any of those kind of adjustments? Where you think you know and you think you understand and the Lord comes by and He clip, 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 prunes a little bit and you go away and you kind of lick your wounds and thank the Lord for what He's done and you realize later, what a blessing, what a blessing. Something to be learned. When I talked to Randy later about those peach trees that had been what looked to me like destroyed, he told me why he had cut them like that. He told me why he had told those men to cut them that way. He was going to try to see if they would bear fruit and come back and do well. He said, because if they don't, it's time to move them out. And I thought about the time where they said, this one doesn't bear fruit anymore. Throw it away. He said, no. Let me work with it one more year. Give me another year. Let me dig about it a little bit. Let me dung it. Let me fertilize it. Let me do some more work with it and see if it'll make fruit. And if it doesn't after that, then we'll have to pull it up. The husbandman that waits for the fruit is looking for the fruit. He waits for the former and the latter rain. And with you and me, I thank God for His long-suffering and His patience with us. And I thank God that when there's the times whenever I probably deserve to be plucked up and tossed away, that there was the vine. I said, let me try to infuse a little more life here. Let me try to infuse a little bit more life and see if we can get some fruit come off of this. And I thank the good Lord. You know, let's remember, I believe that God ordained and established when He created man, that He did it. I'm not going to say it was out of selfish desire, but it was out of a desire to receive something in return. Because love isn't worth much if you don't get anything back from it. If you're married, if you have something that you love dearly, a person you love dearly, if it's a one-way relationship, that just doesn't work very well, does it? It's empty. It's not fulfilling. And that's not what God wanted. He wanted that fulfilling two-way relationship between the vine and the branches and the fruit, the husbandman, all of it working together to produce fruit. You pray for me. God blesses my prayer.